You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, we'll speak to State Assembly Representative Daniel Reamer about new proposed legislation that would protect Wisconsinites with pre-existing conditions from higher insurance rates.
First, when was the last time you were bored? Well, it's great being fulfilled and entertained all the time, both at work and in our personal lives. Most of us succumb to boredom every now and again, but is that necessarily a bad thing?
Our next guest wanted a deeper understanding of boredom, why we get bored, how we deal with it, and what it says about us as humans. And while some might think that boredom is sort of, well, boring, she says that this little examined emotion has a complex and surprisingly colorful story to tell. And that's a lot that we can learn about ourselves in the process.
Mary Mann's new book is Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So what inspired you to write this exploration on boredom? What's behind this?
I started thinking about it when I was in grad school. I was in a writing program, and there was so much concern about being boring. And that was such a big thing that when someone had something bad happen to them, people would almost be jealous because they'd be like, oh, you have something interesting to write about. And it became interesting to me that we were also nervous about being boring because it seemed to give boredom this kind of power that I was interested in. So I started reading about it and thinking about it.
And losing yourself in libraries.
yeah, a lot of that.
And so from a psychological perspective, what did you learn about the role that boredom plays?
Well, like you said in the intro, it is pretty complex. There's bad parts about it. There's if you're having long-term chronic boredom, there are studies that show that that can connect with depression. It correlates pretty highly with loneliness, that kind of stuff. And then there's good things that can get out of it. There's several studies that show that if you're bored for, you know, short periods of time, if it's not a chronic thing, that you start thinking more creatively, you start having more associative thoughts, all kinds of stuff like that.
And Mary, you, it was really informative, I think, in your book because you had a job coming out of college that was extremely boring. You were a host in a restaurant. Seating tables, and you were incredibly bored. You couldn't look at your phone. You really kind of exposed yourself in your book here. What did you learn about yourself as you researched boredom?
That's funny you bring up that job. It was during the recession, too, which was especially why it was boring.
The Great Recession.
Yeah. That's a good question. I included myself in the book partly because I was interviewing so many people, and boredom can be something that people are embarrassed about. So it didn't feel right to ask people to tell me their stories and not include my own. And so that was why I initially did it, but through writing some of my own stuff in there, I did sort of realize some things about how I spend my time and the things that I love and the things that I don't love, and be a little gentler on myself about wasted time.
That first job, that boring job, how has that informed your life getting started that way in the Great Recession with a job that was incredibly boring? How has that impacted you?
Well, it's definitely given me some tolerance for it, which is good, especially in New York City, riding the trains all the time. But also I think there's something to knowing what it's like to be bored. There's so many people in the world who are stuck sort of in boring situations, whether it's in factories or waiting in really long lines to get care that they need or being in jail, and it's kind of a humanizing sort of thing to think about, like, oh, like my situation is very different from theirs, but we've all had similar kinds of feelings. And I guess that's true of any human feeling, but this is the one I spent time with, so.
But Mary, you actually talked with, I believe it was your aunt, expecting her to say that her job in, I believe it's an orange juice processing plant, was really boring. And actually, she wasn't that put off by it.
It's true. Cousin Connie is amazing. She said it wasn't boring. She said it wasn't interesting. She's wonderful. I don't think everybody's bored by the same things at all. There's a book called Rivethead that's really great, and the author, whose name I'm blanking on right now, worked in an automobile factory, and a big part of that book is like how terribly boring it was and how painful that was for him. But Connie's super chill with it, so I think it's just different jobs hit different people in different ways.
We're talking right now with Mary Mann. Her new book is Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. Mary, let's talk a little bit about boredom at the workplace. And I'm sure many people have complained about being bored at work, but one of the questions you spend time focusing on was, what's really so bad about being bored at work? And did you get clear answers to that question? What did you find?
Well, again, it's different for different people. I think there is an expectation that's sort of new to maybe our century, the 20th century at least, that work should be really fulfilling, that we should feel this kind of passion for our work, you know, that sort of do what you love idea. And that can be sort of dangerous, because then when you do get bored, and everybody gets bored occasionally, or at least most of us do. Then when you do get bored, it feels like a big failure. It feels like you've really screwed up, and it's really okay. It should be okay to be bored sometimes and to maybe even admit it. And that was partly where that question came from, was talking to a friend of mine who has what he thinks is a very boring job. And he said it made him feel so much better just to talk about that.
How can it take a toll on a person being bored in their career, in their work?
Well, it does correlate pretty highly with depression. It can be it is sort of the definition of a grind, and that wears you down. I talked to a few people with jobs like that who sort of were struggling and trying to figure out how to make it work, and failing at trying to find any sort of satisfaction with their jobs. There's also studies that say that boredom helps us figure out what we're meant to be doing, or that what we're doing in the moment doesn't have any purpose. And that seems to connect with that part of, like, if your job doesn't feel good, if it feels pretty boring, maybe it's not the right job.
Well, and what does it mean? I mean, it feels like being bored at work is kind of shorthand that could actually be an umbrella for a lot of things. Is it not having enough to do? Like, literally, there's not enough to do and I'm just sitting here. Or is it, this is not challenging me intellectually? Or is it that I don't feel any meaning? I don't feel like I'm contributing anything by doing this job, even if I'm busy all the time. Like, did you get a sense of what it is that people mean when they say that they're bored at work?
I mean, you've kind of hit it. It's a lot of those things. The word boredom is sort of an umbrella term that we use to describe a big range of emotions. Sometimes when people say they're bored, they're really angry and irritable. Sometimes they just feel like paralyzed, like, oh, I can't even move. You know, there's different feelings that are encompassed in boredom. For most people that I spoke to, the kind of boredom that they felt at work was what I like to call like busy boredom, where you're just doing a lot of stuff, but none of it is very engaging to you.
Yeah. We're talking right now about boredom, why we get bored, how we deal with it, and what it says about us as humans. Mary Mann is the author of the new book, Yawn, Adventures in Boredom.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. How do you deal with boredom in your life? Do you view being bored as a good thing or as a bad thing? Do you think it's a luxury to be bored? And what questions do you have for Mary about her research? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now we're picking up our conversation with Mary Mann, author of Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234.
Does boredom stress you out? How do you or your kids deal with being bored? What do you tell them? And has boredom ever driven you toward something really good or something really bad? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. So let's take boredom, Mary, inside our homes for a moment here. We have so many things to entertain us, so many distractions. Is it possible that we as humans will just never be satisfied with what we have to entertain us?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. It's possible. I think he's an anthropologist, Ralph Linton, who said that he thinks that the human capacity for boredom, more than anything else, like created culture, because we have all the stuff. Once you have all the stuff that you need, you still start making more stuff. Like once you have a spoon, you don't need any more spoons, but you keep making ones with different decorations and different things, because what else are you going to do with your making skills? So in that sense, it's good.
Well, and I think it's interesting because spoons and spouses are not the same thing, but but we do, you know, you talk about, especially in the world of online dating, how everybody's profile tries to show that they don't put it this way, that they're not boring, but that's basically everything that they're saying is, I'm interesting, I've done this, I've gone here, I've jumped out of a plane, I've climbed the Himalayas. And really the bottom line is, please don't think I'm boring, because that would be a fate worse than death. So, but if we start our relationships thinking that, it's probably going to bleed into, if we're looking for a long-term stable relationship, those can get maybe a little boring from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, life can just get boring sometimes. I think it's really nice to have people are sort of the best defense against boredom, I guess, other people. You can hang out together, you can talk together, you can deal with stuff together. I think what makes it tricky with long-term relationships is when you start to confuse the regular boredom of life with the person who's walking through life with you. Mm. And then it starts to feel like, oh, maybe if I had someone else, then I would be more interesting, as if it was contagious.
Let's take a call now. Another Mary. Mary in Appleton. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm calling more from the standpoint of those of us who are frustrated with the people that are bored. I share an education position with someone who just is so overwhelmed and exhausted and says, how can you do this every day? And I'm thinking, I love this. This is what I'm meant to do. And, you know, I'm frustrated with people who are bored and not like what they're doing. I say moveon.org, get out of the way and get over yourself and find something that you love.
Mary Mann, how much does this contribute to passion, finding your passion?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, that definitely, I hear that for sure, Mary, other Mary. There's, like I was saying before, there's definitely some research to back up the idea that, like, the whole function of boredom is to help us figure out what we want to be doing. If you don't like, if you're constantly forever bored at your job, maybe try to find a new job. I think that's great advice.
Well, and Mary, you also said that, you know, different things are going to be boring to different people. And so yeah. Marian Appleton is not bored at all with her job, whereas her coworker is. And I actually had to laugh when you said riding the train every day in New York City, because I actually really like riding the bus to work here in Madison and looking at, oh, you know, it's a different mix of people today, or, yeah. oh, I've got a different bus driver, or, you know, what the weather is like. I mean, I also have a very short commute, so perhaps if it was five times longer, I would get bored. But you know, really, I think in anything or in anyone, there can be things that are boring to one and not to the other.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for your call. Let's now go to Sandra in Green Bay. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. So my issue isn't so much necessarily with boredom in a job particularly. I found my passion. I love what I do. I'm a chef for a living, but I work very part-time, and that's because that's kind of what my husband likes me to do, and I personally don't like to work a ton. But what I find is that in my downtime, I'm also a mother of two teenagers, in my downtime, I find myself getting bored, and I find that nothing really fulfills that boredom unless I'm doing something of purpose. So if I'm not doing something that is maybe doing something for the greater good or has a specific purpose or an anticipated outcome, I get bored. And when that happens, I find that I kind of go into a funk, almost like a slight depression, and then nothing sounds like anything I want to do. So it's hard to find, you know, the balance between, you know, not being bored, doing something with purpose, but not doing too much where you exhaust yourself.
So it sounds like Sandra is saying, Mary, that that boredom is maybe a symptom of something that's going on at a deeper level.
Yeah. I hear that about if you're not doing something that serves a purpose, you sort of feel aimless, it sounds like, which makes total sense to me. I mean, that goes along with what Mary was saying about, like, finding your passion and stuff. It is totally harder when you have time that's not structured. Like, that's sort of the nice thing about a job, is that it forces structure upon you in a way. And when you have to do it yourself, I hear that. I mean, that's hard for me when school's out and I'm not teaching anymore. It's weird. I definitely have to structure my time better, or else, yeah, boredom can be super depressing. That's a factual link between those things.
So if money were no object, would there be boredom? Not to get too philosophical, but what does money have to do with boredom?
If money were no object, would there be boredom? Yeah, I think there would. Well, it's funny. So there's different, the way that people talk about boredom is really different, and there is kind of like a class thing about it. Like Tolstoy called it the desire for desires. Which I guess is what would happen if you had all the money in the world but still felt bored. Mm-hmm. You want to want something. And that's sort of that side of things. Where on the other side of it, to stick with the Russian writer's theme, Chekhov kind of just mostly wrote about boredom as like this desire for escape.
Let's go back to the phones, and Grace in New Glarus is up next. Hi, Grace.
Hey, folks, this is an interesting discussion. I'm one of those lucky people, I guess, who maybe doesn't really understand boredom. There are so many things in the world to do, to learn, to understand, to figure out how to do. I have a hard time understanding how people can be bored, particularly some folks I've known who've, you know, had higher education and fulfilling jobs and have been able to travel and all, and yet they still profess to be bored. I guess in some ways a lot of people might think I would be a victim of boredom because I had to undergo a pretty drastic change in my life. About 8-9 years ago due to an injury and subsequent medical conditions. And so my time is utterly unstructured. It's only the structure that I choose to give it or not give it. I find all sorts of things to do. I think reading probably has saved me from boredom many, many times. So I really encourage people to read to their kids, to share books with their children, to teach their kids that reading is a good thing to do, that it can take you places that you never thought possible, that it can teach you things, that it can give you insight into yourself, into your friends, family, into the rest of the world. And I read everything from scientific literature to... I don't read romances.
All right. I'm going to leave it there, Grace, because I want to make sure that Mary has a chance to respond. So Grace is seeing a world full of things to explore, so she doesn't see it. She doesn't have any time to be bored.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I still get bored sometimes, but I get that. I mean, I agree with you with books, especially. I'm so grateful for books. I think that helped me a lot as a kid, to not be bored, and to the fact that I was going to books to avoid being bored, got me so much more than just freedom from boredom. I'm so grateful that I got bored and turned to books to avoid that.
Books can be one escape. So can travel and tourism. You spend a chapter in your book on that. What about travel that can also still lead to boredom?
Yeah, it's a funny thing that people still get bored when they travel sometimes. I wrote about how, well, what's your specific question about that?
Yeah, I'm just curious because there was this nomadic theme in that chapter about being able to roam freely, and yet there was boredom involved in that, about having so much freedom to roam in your travels.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, like, the history of tourism, how so much of that is involved. Like the roots of it are sort of involved in boredom. I read a lot about Thomas Cook, who was really, really into...
And Mary, we're going to have to cut you off short
oh,
here.
That's okay.
So sorry.
Oh,
this...
everyone should read about Thomas Cook then. That's where I'll leave it.
Very good. Mary, thank you so much for being here today. Mary Mann's new book is Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. And you can post on the Central Time Facebook page your recent experiences with boredom and how you managed to not be bored. That's on the Central Time Facebook page.